What do you make of more than a third of people surveyed wanting to start their own business?
Well, it's not surprising. These days, with technology, starting a business is relatively a lot easier. There are a lot of people who have said that they want to start their own business, and that amounts to, more than 42% of people, because they want to make more money for themselves rather than their bosses. There's about 39% of people who also said that they wanted to work for themselves because it allows them to have more flexible hours.
Yeah, do they really understand the other side of the coin, though, I wonder? There are many advantages to being a wage slave, aren't there? The buck doesn't stop with you. You get paid sick leave and holidays and so forth. And as for flexible hours, I thought quite a lot of employees had flexible hours these days. And if you're a small entrepreneur, and you've got to get those contracts, that you probably can't give yourself flexible hours.
I couldn't agree more. I started my business in 2011 after having worked for other people for 11 years. And I must say, it was so hard because when you start a business, you think that you're actually going to do what you love and you're going to do more of that. But in reality, what lands up happening is you might be good in sales or marketing, but you land up doing so much of accounting. You've got to make sure you're spending time with the team. And there's a lot of other things. There are curveballs constantly you're thrown your way. And as an employee, every month you are drawing out a wage, and at the end of the month, there's a big smile on your face. Whereas, in the business, you've got to make sure that others get paid first, all your suppliers, everybody that works for you. And then lastly, if there's any money left, that's when you pay yourself. So you're right, quite right. There are two sides of that coin.
So how can you make sure before you take the plunge, that you're going to be good enough in all those various areas to at least make a go of it and not be unhappy?
Well, I think a lot comes down to mindset, skill, ability, and training. A lot of entrepreneurs get into jobs thinking what they don't want to do. What they really need to think about is why is it that they're doing this, what they do want to do, and work really hard at it. Know that if you're thinking of breaking even, like I thought I'd break even in 4 months and I didn't, and it was really hard, that you have fallback plans. And last but not the least, you need to be trained in certain key skills. Like at Intriva, we run this program called the Key Person of Influence program. And in that, what we focus on is helping small businesses with five key strategies, which actually make a huge impact into what their business will be like in 9 to 18 months. The first thing we tell them to do is to communicate really effectively through a pitch. The second would be more about credibility, building that solid trust and writing blogs, articles, being written about, even a book, The third one would be obviously productizing. Find out what your business model is. You have to find out if you can scale it. Are you in the right vehicle to grow this
That's called
business?
productizing, is it? That's a new word on me.
Yes,
Right.
yes.
Okay. Sorry, carry on.
So even if you're a service business, like let's imagine you're an accountant or a lawyer, you need to have some products you can bring to your clients. And it can't just be one product. It has to be several products, a core product, a product for prospect. So we get into those things, but a lot of businesses have no idea as to what is the scale they want to get to and how they can get there. Everyone wants to make money. But there are certain structures you need in order to retain the money. And of course, the last two bits are you do profile. It's like what other people are talking about you, not about you blowing your own horn, but getting known in as a credible person in that industry. And fifth is working through partnerships and
Right.
collaborations.
Can I go and be trained in all this to see if I cut the mustard while still hanging on to my wage slave job, so that if it turns out I'm not suitable, I haven't lost everything? Or must I take the, would that be, it sounds like there's a lot to learn. I'm wondering whether, just in the number of hours in the day you could do that.
Well, you could do that, definitely. And, if you're a rainmaker of organization, which means that, you're taking accountability, you're running a project, you're making things work, you're self-motivated, then yes, you are a key person for that organization.
Right.
Now, you may want to build on your skills and you take on this program, which is 9 months. We've had leaders before. We've had people who've trained themselves on this. So they've been working for a plastic company or they've been working for a pension fund company. They've come in and they've really strengthened their communication, their credibility, and taken what they've learned within their organization. We call them intrapreneurs. You know, it's like not just an entrepreneur, but they're like an entrepreneur within the business. Yes, definitely.
You're great on the buzzwords, I have to say. Loving all this. An intrapreneur. Right, lovely.
That's it.
You're this year's Local Business Week female ambassador. Why do we need specifically a female ambassador?
You will be so surprised that the national statistics are where people say that if you'd like would you like a female boss? And the results have been 7%. Which means only 7% of the people in the UK would prefer a female boss. That's astounding.
Well, did you ask how many would prefer a male boss?
We did. Apparently everyone loves a male boss.
So, because I was wondering if you'd asked that question in isolation, it could mean that 93% of people are jolly nice people who have no prejudice one way or the other. But you're saying far more than 7% still thought they'd rather have a male boss.
Yeah, and maybe that could be, I think, because they've had a male boss in the past. There haven't been that many female inspiring leaders. Mm. 20 years ago, it was very hard for a woman to run a business. You know, she had to be a little more, or she was perceived to be very aggressive or very, you know, not enough feminine. Whereas I believe now we're in the age where, you know, women can be in their feminine, can run a business, they can nurture and use their nurturing qualities to actually grow a business. I'm really, you know, I started my business 3.5 years ago, then I sold that business. Now I'm a CEO of Intrivo, which is a 7-figure business. Mm. I love what we do, and we have actually focused on helping people in the UK grow their businesses even further. So
it'd be interesting to know what percentage of those who said they'd prefer a male boss were male or female, because there is this thought, and tell me if you think it's rubbish, that men are good networkers and team players and help each other up the ladder, and women aren't like that, and often women are held back by other women. And of course, in business, that's just the kind of thing that you've got to do, isn't it? As you say, you've got to interact with other people, use other people's skills, get them to talk about you. Does that come naturally to a woman like it does to a man?
I think the times have changed now. There is no difference between a man and a woman. A woman's not expected to just stay at home. And, you know, it's not necessarily that she'll always be taken care of.
So this is learned behaviour. It's nothing generic.
I think so, yes.
Genetic, I mean.
Yeah. And I think also in terms of, you know, the approach has changed. Yes, traditionally, and even when I started off in my career, as a woman, you kind of wait till the men finished what they had to say and
yes,
then
I've
add
this,
in.
Yes.
But, you know, it used to be that way just not very long ago, 6-7 years ago. It was very different than what it is right now. But now there is a way of communicating, and men also have actually embraced female leaders. And I find it more and more acceptable where men come out and say, actually, it's quite commendable that, you know, women can be as driven, and I don't see much of a difference. So yes and no, it used to be that way. It sometimes still is, and in certain sectors more than the other. You know, for instance, Karen Brady, she's in a sector which is very, very male-dominated, and I'm sure she feels it more than some
sport.
Other sectors. Yes.
Yeah. Finally, do you think the numbers of entrepreneurs, small entrepreneurs, male or female, will continue to grow, and how high can it go?
Definitely, I think it will grow. If you see to the statistics which have come up for unemployment, it says that last year there was a rise in 211,000 people who have registered themselves as self-employed. Mm. So employment continues to go up, unemployment continues to go down. The only thing that's changed is the rise of the self-employed people. So if you look at those figures quite carefully, you'd find that the ratio of men and women is quite similar. On the Key Person of Influence program that I run, we have about a 50-50. We've got 50% of female-led businesses and 50% male-led businesses overall. So it's actually balancing it out, because there are those florists, there are people, you know, the hairdressers, there are people
traditionally female.
Absolutely.
Roles, I mean, yeah.
Now they're very comfortable standing up and saying, I actually own this business. It's my vision. I manage this team and I want to take it forward.